All right, good evening. And Carla just joined us, Carla Rickert. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Vin also came in earlier. He is with us from Southern California, Carlsbad. And we had some more people come in here in the last 2 minutes. Welcome, everybody. And if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Daphne in Half Moon Bay, California.
Hello, Daphne. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Great to hear you again.
You too.
Right. Half Moon Bay, right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, everybody who joined in. And if you want to do so, feel free to say your name and location. Now welcome the next caller. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Good evening. Joel from Chicago. Hi, everybody.
Oh, hi, Joel. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Right. Fantastic. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Let's see. It's 1 minute till the hour. Bunch of people lined up here. And thank you so much, Daphne, for participating with tonight's call.
You are very welcome. Hi. Hi,
Carla. All right.
Hey, Daphne.
Hey.
How's the girl?
I'm okay. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. I'm good. Waiting and waiting and waiting. Don't you love the name Half Moon Bay? I just think that's so evocative.
That's right in San Francisco, isn't it?
Yeah, we're 40 miles south of San Francisco on the coast.
It's pretty there in there.
It's beautiful, very beautiful.
Is it foggy?
It can be foggy. It's a little bit foggy right now. The fog goes in and out. Actually, I just walked down to the coast about an hour ago.
I used to watch it roll in. I used to love watching the rolling fog.
Mm, yeah, it's a wonderful thing to feel.
Hey, hi, this is Ray from Nevada.
Hey, Ray. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And more people joined in. I want to jump on there and say, everybody, thank you so much for participating with this call. And if you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Hello, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Hello,
Michael.
Greetings.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hello, hi. This is Donna in Kingman.
Hi, Donna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Who else has joined? Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Laura from Lawndale, California.
I heard Laura.
Yes.
Was it Laura from Palmdale?
Lawndale, California.
Right. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Yvonne from Florida.
Hi, Yvonne. How are you doing?
I'm so well. Hi, how are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for being here.
Steve,
hi, Steve. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Oh, just fine.
All right.
I can see clearly now. I've got both eyes cataracts taken care of now.
Fantastic, man. Glad to hear that. And more people have joined. If you want to do so, please say your name and location.
Thank you.
I like the smile. Thank you.
Is Carla, are both Carla and Daphne here?
That is correct.
Okay. My chest always flutters inside of me now.
Joel, huh? Hi, Joel.
Yeah, I'm like, I know when they're here.
Yeah, right.
It's funny. It's surreal.
All right. All right, let's see. Vin is on two different lines over here on the council, but when you're ready, we are ready to get it. It's past the hour, 3 minutes. I welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Don from Brexville. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thanks.
Hey, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Vin, we hear you.
Is Carla here yet?
Carla's here.
Is Terry here?
I believe
yes.
Terry joined in. Hello, Terry.
Yes.
Is Daphne here?
Daphne is here. Daphne.
Yes.
All right.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Wynn.
We have a very interesting call tonight, and we are about to start. Are you guys, let me see here. Let me make sure everything is ready.
The generators are running.
The generators are running. It's 6:04, and let's see. Daphne, are you on the moderator here?
No, Daphne is not.
All right, Daphne, why don't you do star 6? And let me see if we... Hello?
Yes.
So speak up. And,
I am speaking up. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but your volume is still low. We still have to work on getting you a new phone, okay?
I thought that I called in with a moderator code. Are you sure I'm not?
You're not, Daphne.
Okay, then I have the wrong coding here.
We'll just go with it, okay? And, well, if it becomes a problem, then you'll have to call back in. I'll have to call you and tell you the moderator code, okay?
Actually, I do have another code here.
Don't say what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. If you want to try calling back on that, you can, okay?
I will attempt that, okay.
But why don't you just hang in right now? Okay. Are you calling back, Daphne?
She's calling back. She just hung up.
You think it's better?
I don't think she's calling back. Okay. All right. I'm going to start the recording.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, everybody. It is March 18th. 2013, and this is our Monday night call, and welcome to everybody that's listening on the internet, and all of you that are listening on the conference lines, and all of you that are listening on the replays. And I've got a really interesting topic. Guys, can you cut those tones?
Yes, I got them off.
Thank you. And for those of you that were on yesterday's conference call, our planetary healing session, I started talking about something, and it was really an unusual topic. And as you might know, that I start these things, and I start talking, and I don't know what I'm going to say. And it kind of comes in the moment. And I was talking about what I feel happens on our Sunday calls, because the Sunday calls are different than our other two calls. And it's developed over a long period of time. And I'm learning things as this goes on, because I really don't know what I'm doing, and there's nowhere to figure it out. So we do things, and I watch the results, I watch the impact on people, and I try to explain to myself, how is this working? What is going on here? Trying to understand it just on the basis of what it is, not on the basis of what the Elohim say or the Ra group says, but using that as a certain reference point of wisdom and cosmic understanding. But nonetheless, I still have to integrate it on a personal level for it to be real to me. And I have this idea on a Sunday call, and the way it's evolved, that we are actually creating a group energy. And we're creating something that exists in another dimension. And that when we come on those calls, each of you, and it's true on this call too, but it's not so directly focused on that. The Sunday call is focused on that. Every time we come together, there's some aspect of group energy that's developing. And I know that our sources, these two group souls, are group souls, and that they have group energy. And trying to understand how they work, which is not easy because I'm not there, I'm here. So I just listen, observe. They're a big team that can come together and come or go apart. They can have councils. They can have sub-councils. And that when it's required for them to operate as a team, they can choose to do that. And when it's best that they have individual delegation of things, they can do that. And that on some level, the idea has come to me that on these calls, particularly our Sunday call, we are emulating a group soul in 3D in the sense that we're coming together and creating a group energy. And the group energy, to fulfill the requirements of the highest good, the requirements of the highest truth, has to be total free will. Group energy doesn't necessarily have to be positive. It can be negative. It can be a way to a group of people can come together to put intentions out for self-serving interests. So that we have to create a group energy that doesn't do that. That creates the intent for only positive service to other things to come about. And it also, on some level, has to have some benefit to us individually. And so the way that I was explaining it yesterday is that on some level, it's like we are building a reservoir of energy, and that I think our sources are joining that reservoir. So even though we're just a small group, there's millions and millions and millions of them, so they have a certain amount of them that they join that group energy with. But we need to build the receiving antenna for that energy. And it's hard for one person to do it just as an individual. I don't think it's possible, but I don't think I do it as an individual. I think I draw on that group energy just as well as you do. And that when there's that reservoir there, the energy, that we can, it started out that it would come and then it would go and everyone would separate and we come back and we do it again and then everyone would go back to their old form. In fact, sometimes, a couple years ago, I didn't feel that energy come in until way into the call. We would have to talk, we'd have to have fun, we'd have to laugh, we'd do whatever we do. And suddenly there was a magic moment where something switched. And now on the Sunday calls, I experience that it's like a half hour before the call, and I can feel the energy of the group coming together. And so the way I interpret that is as the time of the call approaches, all of you who, or many of you, have learned to feel that energy. And as soon as you start thinking about it before the call, you're creating the intent and we're starting to combine our energies before the call starts. And so we are hitting the ground much more running, starting at a much higher point and building upon that. And, of course, the time seems to go really fast when you're in that experience. Now, I'm sure some of you are listening, and perhaps you haven't had that experience yet. So I will say that keep coming back, because maybe by talking about it, it helps you understand what that experience is to look for. Because it's not a normal human experience to do that, you don't really have reference points to say, this is like that or this is like this. I don't have reference points. We're learning as a group. And I tell the people oftentimes on Sunday that even though I'm talking and I'm the center of attention, it's not about me. It's about us, because I'm feeling the energy. I'm talking to the energy, or the energy is talking through me. I don't know the right words, but then we find, and then I made this idea that the real culmination of this idea of a group energy, which is in another dimension, is on a human level, that we start to have the experience of living inside of each other. And some of us are strangers, and you feel that group energy. We don't know you. You're listening, and you're out in the environment somewhere in the outskirts, but yet you're feeling the energy, and you're participating in it, and you're part of the creation of it. And some of us are getting to know each other. And some time ago, I felt the idea of getting to know each other was important, because our human side really appreciates the experience of connecting with other people that understand the process. And that if you participated and experienced that group energy that happens, when you get to know each other on a more personal level, you have a deeper connection, and that other people understand you. And one of the aspects of this, and came up in a conversation with somebody today, and they were telling me how much the call yesterday impacted them. And I thought about it, and I said, maybe it impacted other people as well. And they were saying that they could feel me inside them, and I could feel them inside me. And some of you are not only feeling me or Terry inside you. You know, as soon as you love somebody, they're inside you. They're not separated from you. And we started a project called Team Shift, where people will come together every day in a small group and call in the light on a conference call. And it's been kind of a back burner project that, I don't know, there's probably 60, 70 people doing it. And when I gave my talk yesterday, Michael in San Diego was at the talk, and he said, I asked him, what impacted you most in the work we're doing? And he's been coming for probably a few years now. And he said Team Shift, because he's developed a group of people that can connect every day. That
Ben, go to your...
What?
Go to your Skype, please.
Am I turning out? Okay. Here we go.
Mute your other one.
Hello. Hello. Can
yeah,
you
go
hear
ahead.
Me now?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Let me know. Actually, I don't think I muted the Skype.
I did earlier. Yeah.
You did? Okay. Because it makes an echo, I think, if they're both on. Okay.
Yeah, no, okay. You're good right now.
Yeah. So I'll mute my phone.
Okay.
Did you mute my phone?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks. Okay. And so I looked at it and I said, that I think Carla and I have been developing that experience of living inside each other. And you know, when I say that, I have to reinforce the idea this is total free will. I'm not codependent, and I don't need Carla, and she's not codependent, and she doesn't need me. But we talked about it today, and we talked. I talked about that experience with her, and I was talking about it in relationship to the Christ that energies. And I said, I think this is related in some way. And Ella has a particular, I don't know if I say, a connection with Jesus. It's different than mine. I had read the New Testament when I was younger, and I kept asking myself, I said, I know, I understand a lot of the words Jesus is saying. I understand them in a way that I knew they were true in my own life. I could validate them. But I was brought up Jewish, and it was never like, you know, in my experience to say things like Jesus is my personal savior or things like that. But I knew what he was saying. I knew the experience. And I was having some of those experiences in my life at the time. And I was feeling like this must be what Jesus was going through. Now, you got to look, from my point of view, Jesus was a human. He was very much human. And he, as a human, he would make mistakes. And in fact, in the raw material, it was indicated, I think this was in the raw material, I don't know if it was Kyo or Ra, where it was indicated that when Jesus was a young man, he got so angry at someone that his anger caused a person to die. And he had to do a lot of amends in thinking about that and what that meant. So when we look at Jesus as being perfect, he certainly was not, at least as I get it. But he did something amazing in his life. And, you know, one of the things about having somebody live inside you is the fact that you get to feel not only their beautiful, loving nature, you get to feel all the human side of them, the things that are not perfect. And on some level, if you find yourself having your expectations too high, then you kind of reject them because you find what's wrong with them. And there's something wrong with everybody. And it's okay to have something wrong with you. And, you know, I was talking to Carla today. We're talking about, Jesus, there was that biblical, it wasn't a parable, it was supposedly an experience, where they were going to stone this woman who was a prostitute, I think that's right, and Jesus said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And so he was saying, who are you to judge her, and where is your perfection? So we all have, I don't use the word sin, but we have distortions, a human nature, a selfish side, a lustful side, different for everybody, a jealous side, and an acquisitive side. We all have that to some extent or another. And now you're going to let somebody in you, in this crested space, and maybe you're going to feel some of their aspects. And maybe you'll reject that experience because you find everything wrong with them. And in my opinion, that it's that you can notice that and still hold to the beauty of the connection. And to me, this is how the spiritual work downloads in a human way, that we can experience that. Because when you have that experience of sharing space with another human in such an intimate way, because it is intimate, even though you're not even seeing each other, it's still intimate and very, very deep and close, that it starts you on a state of healing yourself and forgiving yourself and accepting yourself, because if someone else accepts you, you start to accept yourself. And I don't think it ever means that you're totally perfect. And I don't think that works in a human level. Because we're human, we all have survival issues. We have all kinds of things we're working with. And you can make yourself unworthy of being loved because of all those issues, particularly if you're on a spiritual path. You start looking at yourself and you say, oh, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of the Elohim or Ra to pay attention to me. I'm not worthy of being loved. And yet, I know that's not true. In fact, you have to start where you are and accept yourself to move through it. And even when you move through it, even when those aspects are not predominating, they're probably still there in some lower level of programming. And it becomes like not letting them control you. You can notice them, but you don't have to take action on them. And it's okay if they come up. If you suddenly feel jealous, you don't have to say, I'm bad, I'm feeling jealous. You just have to say, there's my lower nature bringing up jealousy, and I'm not going to like act on it. I'll go through the feeling. It's not real. I'm not competing with anybody. I hope they do well, and keep working on it that way. And you may have to do that for the rest of your life. It may always come up. I use jealousy. You can use anything. But Carla, and I thought I'd have Carla just share whatever she'd like to share in response to that.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Hi, so am I coming through okay?
Yes, fantastic, Ella. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. All right. Well, I'll take a couple steps back, one to the left, and, you know, bob twice. Anyway, going back to what he was saying about it being coming from a spiritual place, I think that reality is that we are all one. We really are all together, and it's a matter of being aware of it, becoming aware of it, and feeling comfortable about it. And I think the way it started with me, anyway, it was a long, long time ago when I was a kid, and I could feel that there was like an ever-living fountain inside of me that never stopped bubbling up. And sometimes it would bubble up joy, and sometimes I wouldn't be in joy. I would be in another feeling. I would be in pearly feelings on a rainy day. I'd be feeling contemplative and thoughtful. Or it would be exciting feelings, you know, oh, boy, here comes March Madness, you know, University of Louisville, number one, yay, yay, you know. And that's bubbling up. But what's mostly bubbling up is a basic state of all rightness. And that basic joy, I guess you'd call it, just simple joy. And it's just so good to be alive. It's so good to be smelling the roses. It's so good to be here. It's so good to be serving the Creator in whatever way we can. And I'm just feeling that bubbling up, and it's not coming from me. it's coming through me, and I'm participating in it. I'm partaking it. I'm feeling it as it comes through, and so I'm part of the fountain, and so that part of the fountain that is me is colored in a certain way. And so it's not just the day that's coloring it, you know, whether it's sunny or whether it's rainy, but it's maybe whether it's whether I'm sunny or whether I'm rainy inside or whatever. But it's not an effort, and it's not anything that is within my control, except that I can ignore it, and I can live in a shallow way and decide, oh, I don't really want to be aware of the archetypal mind today. I think I'm going to be totally shallow, and I'm going to go shop for shoes. But you can't help it because you're shopping for shoes, and you're feeling the joy of shopping for shoes. And you can't get away from the fact that there is what you could call your Christ itself, your consciousness, that is the essence of you. Whatever else you are, if you get deep enough, if you get quiet enough, if you focus into yourself enough, you come upon this fountain that is constantly giving you infinity. Flowing through you and out into the world and through you and out into the world. And where is it coming from? It's coming from the infinite creator. It's bouncing, you know, from the creator to the sun and from the sun to the heart of the earth, from the earth to the soles of our feet and up through our bodies, in, you know, through our spines, up through our spines and our electrical bodies that, you know, follow along the spines, all the chakras get a little poke, you know, and up through the heart, and up through the speech and the truthfulness, and then up into, you know, spiritual work, all those energies up in the head, and then out through the top of the head like a flame, and out back into the creation, and constantly doing that. It's almost like the fountain then cycles back down and comes back through, and it's almost like, well, maybe it's a circle instead of a fountain. I don't know what the right model of it is. But there's that before you ever associate with another person. And when you are able to associate with another person, maybe with, like, when we have this suspicion that we've worked together before in other lifetimes, it's always been really easy for us to sort of vibe in together and whatever. One person's talking about, the other person goes, oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's easy to understand. And, you know, there's no effort, and that's always nice. But I have the same thing with my husband, and we notice it time and again. He can be gone for, golly, I guess he was gone for all of 3 hours today. And he came back and he says, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I feel like I've been gone an age, you know. It's really good to touch in with you. And you know, there's that joy. There's that joy. And so you don't have to be together. It's not necessary to be together. There's not a codependence there. There's not a neediness. Nobody's pulling at anybody, and yet there it is. And what a joy it is to feel that. And really, I never lose it. And I never lose that feeling once I've gotten to that point with somebody. I never really lose it, and it's not something that I actually have thought a lot about, except that there was this one time we have a spiritual community here, and we had a gal that was living in the house and volunteering, doing her very best to serve the creator along with us, and really loved the Blah One and wanted to help us out. She was helping us out a lot. And she and I went together on a trip to Britain, and I had to go over there because I had to be in somebody's wedding. And she was a Sufi and a Baha'i. And in the Baha'i faith, there's something where you stand for somebody like an advisor, and the bride has one and the groom has one. And I was the groom's advisor, and I thought to myself, I do not want to, you know, collect all the capital necessary to pay for a ticket over there and back and not do anything but go to a wedding. So I put it up on my site, L&L Research's site, and said, if you have a public place that we can meet, I will be glad to teach for donations only, and let me know and we can get it together. Well, I got together five different teaching locations all throughout Britain, north, south, east, west, and London. And it was fun. And she just was incredible. I can't carry anything. She was pushing me, schlepping bags. I don't know how in the world she did all she did. But by golly, we got everywhere we needed to go. I did all the teaching I needed to do. And she was so incredible. And I was having a very intense time of it. It was at that point where I was starting not to be able to walk. And so, you know, there was less and less mobility and more pain and a lot of difficulties. And so she and I were together a lot. We were playing Robbie Robertson's songs for American Indian people, something like that, and focusing on the American Indian ways. And so we started being able to dream the same dream and be in each other's dreams and things like that, which is part of this experience sometimes. I've done the same thing with Wynn and certainly with my husband. And when she got back, she couldn't shake that closeness that we had achieved, because once you achieve it, there you are. And it's, you know, it's, you're joined, and you don't do anything with it, but it's there. And she said, finally, she said she just couldn't take it anymore. She needed to leave the community, because I lived on, she said, this is a quote, I don't know how true it is, she said, I lived at a very high degree of truth. And she felt as though she were on in the desert without a hat, you know, and she just was getting burned. And she couldn't really take it anymore. So off she went. And I still feel that with her, but of course I don't do anything about it, because it's not something that she wants to do anything with. At any rate, there are drawbacks to it if you are of the suspicion that everybody's got an agenda. And I think that's the one drawback, is that when you experience this, you need to let go of the concern that people might take advantage of you. If you start feeling that they're too needy, that they're trying to put you on a pedestal, that they're judging you, any of those things, then you need to make a boundary, and you need to make a distance between yourself and the other person, which can be done. And, you know, it's fairly easily done, as long as you really, really mean it. But that's what you need to let go of in order to enjoy and participate in this being inside of each other, being one with each other at the very deepest and most intimate of spiritual levels. Because there is so much good that can be done by the doubling of, you know, one and one is two, and two and two is four, but then the third person makes eight, and the fourth person makes 16, and, you know, every time another person comes in, it doubles the amount of energy that the group has. So you very quickly get to a very high degree of energy and are able to serve and affect the light and make the planet have more light, offer more light to the planet by making a place where that fountain can bubble through into the world. And we're the only people that can do that, because we're human. And, you know, all the wonderful animals in the world, they do wonderful things. They don't know how to do this. Only we humans can do that. And people that aren't in the body, that aren't in incarnation here, they can't do that either. They can serve. They can be there for us. But we are the ones that make the space on this side of the veil. And so we can make a difference. And we do make a difference all the time, even if there's nobody that we're with, because we can get this fountain effect going simply by claiming our relationship with the greater self, you know, the creator. and feeling that oneness on a very deep level. But, oh, my goodness, what a blessing it is and what a pleasure it is to have friends of that intimate nature where you could rest in each other and you give rest to each other. Go ahead, Rich.
I think, you know, I think that as we speak of the idea of this, it's very important for a person that would like to have this kind of experience. Now, here's like a fine line. You know, if you let yourself get close to somebody in this way, and it's of the highest, you're going to be aware of them at a very deep level, and they're going to be aware of you. And if you're ashamed of the parts of yourself, or any parts of yourself, then you may block this experience because you don't want anyone to see that. Because you're ashamed of it, because you have an attachment to how you're being seen, and you want to put yourself out in a way that people can't see those parts of you. And to have this experience, you have to let go of that, and you have to be willing to be seen. And at the same time, you have to realize that that other person can't save you from yourself. But they can inwardly support you so that you can, it speeds up the process of saving yourself or getting above all that stuff. Because one of the things about getting close to somebody is oftentimes when people are going through a lot of struggles and a lot of hardships, they become codependent and they want your energy on the outer level instead of the inner level. And when you try to do it on the outer level, like talk to somebody, give them compassion, you know, be their friend, they start wanting that all the time. And it's not this anywhere near the same thing as living inside someone. And it's a trick to be able to pull it off. And I think that by coming together constantly on these calls and developing that reservoir of energy, it is creating a reference point that all of you can work with. If anyone wants to join Team Shift as an experiment, and see if you have to apply this in Team Shift because you're going to be meeting people on the outer level. But the goal is not to have the outer level be it. It's supposed to be like the key to open up the inner levels. So people share that aspect of themselves that is one with the Creator, the oneness of everything. And you start developing inner support instead of outer support. The outer support becomes secondary to the inner support. But it's a developmental thing, and it can happen in the blink of an eye, or it might take months. But it's a good, I decided to do this call and talk about this because it creates a vision, a model of how it feels. Because I know that some of you will think that there's something special about me or Carla, and of course, there is something special, but there's something special about everyone. And in everyone's unique way, they have the ability to do this. I have talents. I'm a good speaker. So you're probably not going to be as good a speaker as me. And yeah, Carla's a good speaker. And I have people around me that are bringing through messages, and Carla brings through messages. But we are still human. We have the full spectrum of humanness, and to feel the humanness in us allows you to feel the humanness in yourself and to accept yourself and to get over the shame of the parts of you that are not perfect. And because people think they're going to go away like, boom, and it's not my experience for me that it works that way, that all my imperfect parts are still there. In fact, last week
I got in trouble because I was on a call with the transcribers, and I was eating potato chips. And a couple of people got really mad at me because I was being disrespectful. I apologize if you happened to be on that call and you heard the potato chips crunching. And I was also tired because I was my energy was being set up to go to L.A. to go to these workshops, and I didn't want to be on the call. But I wanted to be on the call because that's a really important project in what we're doing. And so maybe eating potato chips was giving people a chance to see if they would judge, you know, the thing about it is the mistakes you make are what everyone remembers you by, at least right afterwards, and not necessarily the track record of all the good things you're doing. They see one mistake and say, Wynn is really like that, or, you know, Carla's really like that. No matter how many calls I've done, how much dedication I've been, eating potato chips was my sin of the day. And probably, you know, not being totally present in the way people wanted me to be present. But these are the very exercises that give us the opportunity to see through these, how would I say it, the lower aspects of ourselves, and see through it and forgive somebody and reintegrate the rest. Because as long as you're seeing the person's faults and looking at them and focusing on them, you will never have the experience of having anyone live inside you. And in a free will, supportive, loving way, in the way that can heal you and heal each other. We are part of each other's healing if we let it take place. And I thought that I would, let's see what time is it, 6:45. Let Terry and Daphne share their perspectives on this particular topic if they'd like to do it. Terry?
Okay. I could say a few words. I think for me, the connection with the higher sources and the Christ consciousness and the all that is and spirit, it's like a friend and a stabilizer for me, so that when I, in my past I've had a lot of stability. Like when I was a kid, I got sent to a foster home and put up for adoption, and all kinds of stuff happened. So I felt like I was just really kind of in the way, and I wasn't allowed to have friends. So I had a hard time in my development in knowing how to relate with people. Because I didn't know what the outcome would be. So I kind of went into the higher realms and established the more secure, I thought, relationships. And I'm still kind of experimenting with, like, this world relationships, where I'll open myself up to somebody and I'll feel you know, friendly and outgoing towards them, and then all of a sudden they're gone, or they stop talking to me, or I don't know, they drop off the line or something. And so I'm still, you know, experimenting with this world relationships.
See, I think when you develop the Christed relationship, I'm calling it the Christed relationship. If when you develop a Christed relationship with somebody, then the time you're not, there's not the codependency of having their energy pointing it towards you. It's, you can feel their energy with you, and that you can be with somebody and create the energy there, but it's only reinforcing what was there already flowing along. And when there's no energy on the inner that's flowing, every time you're with that person, you start from zero and try to create some kind of rapport. Now, I noticed that I used to be able to love people really deeply, but they didn't know how to love back on this level. But I didn't understand it at all. It's like I could see them, and I could see where they were. This is when I was younger, where they were blocked, but they couldn't see themselves. And I remember getting into conflicts because when somebody is more contracted than you, you have to go to their level of contraction. And then suddenly, it's everyone's figuring out who is doing what. Something's wrong here. Is that you or is it me? And from their point of view, it looks like you. And from your point of view, it looks like them. And everyone's arguing about what's going on. And this is a working out kind of relationship. It hasn't moved into the Christed energy because all that stuff takes place and you just move above it and love them and support them inwardly. Daphne, you want to make any comments about all of this?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, this is a very, very complex topic. My own experience is actually quite a bit different than what Wynn has talked about. He's talking about what, from my perspective, seems like a more personalized relationship of the Christed consciousness with other people. I come more from a Vedantic or the wisdom tradition of the East, even though I have a strong affiliation with Orthodox Christianity, the Greek Orthodox Church, and also mystical Catholicism. But I am I'm more of a meditator, and so the personal aspect of the relationship, it has not been as much a part of my past. The Christed consciousness doesn't necessarily, in my experience, mean a personal relationship. Oftentimes it can mean bearing witness and bearing the truth or the validity of a situation from a point of centeredness, which may or may not entail a personal relationship. I'm not sure if I can explain it more than that. It's not necessarily the warm fuzzies. It can be that if that is an authentic expression, but it's not necessarily something that the personality self can understand, because oftentimes our personality self is it's caught up in wanting to preserve aspects of the ego and aspects of the egoic control that have a very, very hard time surrendering to a deeper truth. And so I know that sounds kind of heavy, and it is heavy, because there's always been, at least in my own past, an absolutely fierce kind of a spiritual warrior-esque adherence to truth. It's just what I've had to do. It's been my life. My life didn't have a lot of warm fuzzies in it. I didn't have warm fuzzy parents, and it just hasn't been my way. But I guess that's what I would say about it.
Okay. Well, you know what? Everyone's got their path. And everyone has to figure out their own path in their own way. And I'm just trying to make some understanding, because we're in the middle of having a group here. And within what I've learned is that even though I can be very reclusive and be very happy being reclusive, I found myself in the middle of this experience, which actually Daphne provoked to a great extent. And I said, what does this mean? And I started to learn that there were some extraordinary things that were important to people. And that, how do I do this? How do I make this important to people? And then you start feeling people, and you start feeling, well, what do I do next in terms of supporting the people who are paying attention to this work? And how do I do that? And how do I stay true to myself? How do I not get caught up in everything that everyone's going through? And how do I not take responsibility for everyone, which I can't?
Well, it's
and
not
about
honor, though. It's about resting in people and letting people rest in you. I mean, it's more being.
Right, exactly. You know, when you put yourself out into the world and you do something like this, invariably, there's people who think you're magic, that knowing you is going to fix them, which is not usually the case. And if you allow that to occur, you end up with people pulling on your energies all the time and becoming dependent on you. And the key to this is to put it all out in such a way that people take it back to themselves and learn how to draw on what's inside them. But you can add to that this group energy aspect, which doesn't actually take any effort on my part. It does not deplete me to be part of participating in a group energy creation. In fact, it feels like it makes me stronger. And that's my experience. And Carla?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Well, I guess what I said was pretty much it. It's not about doing anything with people or having them do anything with you. It's a presence that is restful. And
yeah.
You rest in them, they rest in you. And I think that as you're relating through the love in each other, and it's a spiritual love, so that there's nothing of the personal in it. I would guess that it would be at the level of the archetype, the level,
yeah,
so deep that it's deep within the beginnings of our humanhood, and it's I think it we feel it if we're part of a congregation at all. If we come together to worship, we're not coming together. And if we really are in a worshiping congregation as opposed to a kind of a country club that is pretending to worship, or, you know, a joy song thing that you just get all jumped up and excited and you're not really resting in each other. But if you're really coming to worship, and if there's that feeling of being, you know, a family in Christ or a family, I don't know how other people put that in other world religions. I just have my own Christianity, and so I'm kind of narrow there. But with that model, I've often felt that that wonderful feeling of that beautiful knowledge of people fall way deep down below how old they are, what they do for a living, what their circumstances are, if they have children, if they have, if they're alone in life. You know, anything like that. And it's so comforting. And I really miss her. There was a gal that every Christmas Eve I used to just send her the word Jesus, and she'd send me the word Jesus, and we'd know. And that's all we needed. And, of course, there was Don Elkins that I shared 16 years of silence with. He never said anything about how he felt about me or anybody. He never talked. And very silent man, and yet I had no question as to how he felt, and it was so comforting to rest in him. He was like home to me.
You could feel him inside you, yes?
Yeah, and I do to
and
this
could
day,
feel,
even
could feel
though
each
he's
other,
dead
yes.
since 84. Yeah,
yeah,
it definitely.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away, and it's so peaceful, and it's so abiding. And I appreciate it so much, and I appreciate all of you. And I think that on these calls, we really do enter into each other and love each other. And it isn't that slurpy, isn't it wonderful kind of love? It's a love that doesn't need any expression. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I would put it. I would put it way down below before you ever get to things like language and relationships and stuff.
You know what? It's 6:59. We got to close this call. Thank you all for being here. Thank Carla, Terry, Daphne. And just letting you know, next week, if all goes well, Barry Morrow, who wrote The Rain Man, is going to be our guest. And I hope you show up, okay? And thank you, BBS. We'll see you next time.
Hey.